Gary, Henny and Quirk.
That's me.
On the It's All Music podcast.
That's us.
Down by Jorfin's Quarry and Knockadoon by the sea.
Woo!
Sometimes we bring a guest down with us.
Yeah.
We drink tea and made some biscuits.
Woo!
Then we chat and we laugh and we play a few songs. Why not tune in and sing along? Gary, Henny and Quirk.
That's us.
On the It's All Music podcast.
Yeah.
Down by Knockadoon by the sea.
Yeah.
Oh God. That's that one.
Did it take you
long? Truth covered in security. Can't let you smile on me. I'd like to, but it couldn't work. Trading off and taking turns. I don't regret a thing, and I got this friend you see who makes me feel I wanted more than I could steal. I will rest myself. I'll wear a shield. I'll go out of my way to prove I exist. It's gonna run. Afraid of never going near, experience anything you need. Well, I keep fighting jealousy until it's fucking gone, and I got this friend you see makes me feel and I want it more than I could feel. I will rest myself.
Hello and welcome to the It's All Music podcast. It was a Nirvana-inspired intro. We're back in HQ, Knockadoon, with your hosts, Mike Carey, David Quirk, and me, Owen Hennessy.
Hello.
Hello.
We have no guest. I enjoyed that, lads.
Yeah.
You came with that idea there.
In my head was, last Saturday week, because I haven't seen Carey since, I went to Paradox's Nirvana tribute in the Crane Lane. And it was class.
It was banging.
And you know what I noticed, lads? There wasn't a whole pile of young people there.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. Come on, yeah.
Reality slapped.
Yeah, they're in the fucking gym.
There was a few people tried to mosh, but the old back wouldn't let them.
Yeah.
Is that the crack now?
That's the crack. If you think about it, 30 year anniversary since Kurt's death is what they were celebrating.
I'm 42. He died when I was 12.
Yeah.
For God's sake.
Welcome to being an old cunt.
Shut the front door.
But he had made his mark on you at that age.
Everyone, like, sure. Anyone who would fucking listen to us.
Music, like, yeah.
I'd say even if the mother was honest.
She liked him.
That's nice tipping.
That's nice tipping, she said. No, they were very good. Lineup of Pete.
Nirvana.
Well, the tribute the other night.
Crucial critique.
Pete on lead guitar and his partner Henrietta on bass.
What
and
lead Nilsa. Guitar is in Nirvana?
There is a few solos. It smells like Teen Spirit as a solo.
God help us.
No, God help us.
Jeez, I could do them.
No, they were great. They were really, really good. No, really fucking good night. Really enjoyed it.
They started off with two guitar players. It was Jason Everman and Kurt Cobain.
Didn't they take on Pat Smear?
For the In Utero job.
Yeah.
But he was only playing the same fucking thing Kurt was, like, just to beef it up, you know?
I don't know, was there much rehearsals? Like, would there have been much? Because it was kind of loosey-goosey, but there's a lot going on as well at the same time, you know?
It's a fucking great vocal, I suppose.
It's all built around the vocal and the drums.
And the drums, like, Jesus Christ.
Drums are earth-shattering, like.
Yeah.
And the other night, he was in sixth gear, like, you know?
Go away.
Yeah.
But he loves that, I'd say.
He loved it, yeah. He loved it.
And who was singing?
Pete Mack, yeah, he was really good. And
Paradox
is the name of his band. Check it out; that's his original band. They did two Paradox songs, but the rest of the night was classic Nirvana.
Well done, the boys. That's
class, and it was all what you could imagine with guitars being held over old amps and roaring feedback, and all of that it's stuff. Like, gosh. Yeah,
I love that. Now
all the theatrics.
Yeah, it was class, you know, and the crowd really appreciated it, and a full pack to the rafters, Crane Lane.
Class.
Yeah. But one thing I did take from it is that we're not young.
What did they do in another 20 years? What kind of...
What at the Limp Bizkit tribute nights? You know?
Yeah.
But there was never such a turnaround, like, as there was since we were born.
No.
Really? Well, maybe like the 80s. But, like, let's go, like, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s.
The Beatles.
It was all fairly safe. Like, even the Beatles, Jesus, God help us. So that was safe enough, like, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But things went to cat in the noughties, like.
Like, no one looked respectable in the bands I was listening to, like.
No.
Yeah. You wouldn't go to mass and the stuff they were wearing, like.
But they were a counterculture to what was happening, like, the kind of glam rock kind of thing, you know, where musicians wore eyeliner and permed their hair, like.
Oh, yeah.
Nirvana came along looking like the crowd in the audience, like, looking like they just...
Sure, there's nowhere else to go now, is there?
So who's that? As you said, there's a.
It's an original band, Paradox. You see, but their front man is all of them are mad Nirvana fans. So
did you say partner though? Is there a couple?
Yeah,
I think
they're married. The bass player,
cool,
Henrietta and Peach. She was playing bass. She was brilliant. And then Nails are on drums. Yeah, really good.
Brilliant. Well done, lads.
They have their band, and then once a year on Kurt's anniversary, I think they did Fibbers as well, and Tabarra's. They just do three, and that's it then.
And for Nails, or like, the idea is to fucking hammer the drums.
Just cut loose. Like he said, it's the first time I ever heard Barry the Sawman up there. He says, you're hitting too hard.
But sure, that's the fucking job.
Sure, that's the size of it now.
You know? Nails are right. Yeah. Give it to him.
But sure, the lead of the growls. He used to fucking hit hardly.
Sure,
like,
the lead of the growls. Yeah.
The old boy,
growl.
Growl, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good night. No, it was good.
Well done, Paradox. Shout out. Very good. Yeah. Excellent. Didn't see you last week.
No, we were.
Hello to Roger Ryan.
We were all giving out to Roger.
Even up to Roger's shed, lads, and you'd have fucking blashed.
We had a blash in the shed.
Yeah, I like the shed. Good environment.
Oh, yeah, spent a few hours in the shed.
Yeah, I think we all have.
I've been in the shed, yeah.
Fucker, we could have done three episodes.
He just rang me today. Yeah. He was saying that, yeah. He said he went away and he said he's thinking of stories, add ons of bits that he told us on that episode, bits that he forgot. He had, what he was saying was he was involved in a pirate radio station.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd never said any of that. And all these stories would have tied in as well with people he met through that. And he said that he could have gone on forever. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Wasn't that an interesting time when pirate radio stations were?
Around. All the legitimate radio people we've had down through the years came from pirate radio.
Yeah.
Like, don't name any of them now.
What cost were they avoiding? Because it must have been fairly fucking expensive to get set up.
I'd say a broadcasting license was extremely expensive, like, yeah. And you had to apply to the state for it, obviously.
Was there one around here? You don't have to mention. It doesn't matter, like. Was there? I can't remember.
Well, same as the boys going around driving taxis, and there weren't taxis or there was no license.
Big pirate stations like Radio Caroline that was being broadcast from a yacht and out in the water, like, you know.
Oh, that's a famous one, yeah.
And then there was Atlantic 252. They were a long way of radio stations.
Atlantic 252 wasn't a pirate
station. Pirate, yeah. Oh, right. I think that came from Radio Caroline or something, like, you know. I think that started as a long wave pirate. Now, while we're on the subject of me being wrong, I want to make a public apology. This is for all our listeners.
Do you want to finish the other one?
Oh, yeah, okay, we'll finish the first one. Okay.
Be wrong about this first.
Okay, I'll be wrong about this. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But
the fucking confidence, don't be at all. Like.
Radio Caroline.
Wrong as shit.
Is a complete separate entity, and I could be wrong. But I know there was. Do you remember Freak FM? Do you remember that? It's an alternative radio station based in Cork, and it was as pirate as shit.
It rings a bell.
It's only started on a Friday and finished on
I could
Saturday.
Be thinking of Freak Scene, though. That,
Freak FM?
The Dishko that used to be going in Henry's.
Well, there was an alternative radio station broadcast in Cork called Freak FM. And there was also Kiss FM, the dance station.
I know that one,
also pirate.
Oh, yeah. I loved the DJs in that. They were brilliant. Like, unapologetically Northside.
Yeah. This one's gone out to fucking Jacinta. She's in the Clio.
Yeah.
They're going to Looney's for chips.
She's got the old Clio.
This one's for Paddy from Blackpool, who got out today. Well, I'm Paddy, boy. Good to have you back.
Good to have you back. Paddy's out, lads.
Good times, 90s. Pirate radio.
Yeah, are they around today?
Another.
Is there a pirate radio? Sure, there's not. Sure,
what sure you can do a podcast? Like what we're doing now.
This is.
But it's not playing. We're not playing music. We're not playing. You know what I mean? We're not broadcasting.
We're not live.
Well, the podcast comes from, you know, the iPod. So it was something that could go on to the original iPod and you could listen to it. That's, you know, it's a spin-off, the broadcast podcast.
Oh.
So is this, it's not radio, like, you know?
No, but it's also in radio format. Like, if you did have a pirate radio station now, would anyone listen to it? Because, you know, there's so much available online for, like, you know, let's say like that you went into alternative music. If you typed in alternative music podcast into your Spotify, you would probably get thousands of results, like, you know.
Well, do you listen to the radio?
I have it on in the mornings at the weekend, but it's just like background noise. I don't there's nothing I actively listen to.
No, I wouldn't be tuning in.
Same question to David, please.
No, I don't really.
You don't?
Well, there's no station that's playing music that I'd like to listen to, really.
I fucking put it on, I instantly regretted it. Put it on in the morning, it's just death, destruction, misery, and more misery to come. It wouldn't have piss and rain. It's going to be pissing.
It wouldn't happen to be a popular morning radio talk show host.
Of course it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Cork based?
No, head Dublin based. Radio 1.
You're on with Joe Duffy in the mornings.
No, he's in the afternoons.
No, I can't listen to that. No.
That's pure dumb. And he put it on for nostalgia's sake, I don't know.
But the songs that... There's some Cork stations, I'm not going to name them.
Name the fuckers.
But all of them, right? And it's like, every now and again they decide to be fucking cutting edge and street, and you get like Gangster's Paradise by Coolio, which was a hip-hop release 25 years ago, like, you know, like... Changes by Tupac, like, it's like they have go to kind of different genre, like Uncle Cracker, like, you know, like when I hear them playing kind of some like Natalie and Brood here, like this wasn't even current when it was out, you know.
They're just going by an algorithm, they're not even picking song, like, are they really going to kind of going? It's the guys on late at night come back from a gig that you'd listen to, you might get. I've come back from gigs and turn on the radio and there could be John Prine on. Do you know? But it's 2 o'clock in the fucking morning.
Yeah.
But funnily enough, Mike in Knockadoon just talked. Yeah, Mike, welcome. Yeah, you're up all night because you were working and whatever. And there's people listening to those radio stations, you know?
Yeah.
John Creedon does a great show in the evenings.
He does, yeah.
It's really good, like.
That's a good show.
That's a great show.
Yeah.
I'd say he's sound. Never met him, no.
John, yeah.
I have, yeah. He was sound when I met him briefly, yeah.
Yeah,
at a Holly's gig.
He could be listening.
Probably not.
I have my crippling doubts. But he might be.
Crippling doubts.
Like, music on the radio is kind of out of context, though, isn't it? Like, you could never really enjoy a song on the radio in the morning on the way to work. It's pointless, like, isn't it? You didn't pick it. You're listening to it on shitty speakers, doing maybe a job you hate. Like, it's not like. You know, the song isn't really suiting the environment you're in.
No.
Maybe you're, I don't know, sweeping up cornflakes and listening to something.
I don't even think that current bands are trying to get on radio rotation. I think it's just a forgotten medium. And just,
well, this is a topic I have for tonight. If you pass me over my phone for a second, Mike.
Shit, he's got a topic.
I've got topics. I'm going to fucking...
Are we after kind of creeping into one of them?
Well, it's kind of... It's relatable. It's not anything really to do with radio.
Have I time for my public apologies all before?
Go on, do it, yeah, because I look at it all going on.
Listeners, friends, and colleagues, on a recent show, I made the audacious claim that Gary Lightbody from Snow Patrol was married to Courtney Cox. This, of course, I have found out after, is incorrect. I'd like to apologise to the extended Cox Lightbody family because, of course, it is a fact that Johnny McDeed from Snow Patrol is with Courtney Cox and not Gary Lightbody. I'm so sorry. I'd just like to clear that up. Anyway, please don't cancel me. Anyway, back to the fucking thing at hand. Can ye forgive me, lads?
Just about.
You've been affected by any of the issues raised.
Please email us.
You could have let it slide. It.
No, people were affected.
Going back to that topic,
David. But, yeah,
the, the music videos for current bands today.
Mm.
What's the point?
None. Next.
There is none.
There is none.
I don't know when the last time I saw a music video was.
I suppose for online reasons, it's just something to accompany the song in mediums like YouTube and stuff like that, rather than a blank screen.
It's not a moneymaker now, like, is it?
Well, I don't know. Was it ever? It was always a cost. Like the days of MTV, if you had a snazzy video, it would catch people's attention. And
yeah, you know, there was music TV.
Yeah, no, like, we had the patience to listen to a full music video too, and you'd be interested in it.
Yeah,
and you know, you'd watch a program dedicated to it, and you'd be clued to it.
But some of the videos were really kind of got you more interested in the band, really, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But there was. Financially, like, what do you, would you be better off, like, recording a load of content and using it over a period of time on their social media rather than doing one video?
Yeah. So,
what do bands do now? Like,
what bands do now is they could record. They spend maybe a day recording content and they drip feed it over their socials. Like TikTok is what, like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
They could maybe fucking one of them every second day for a month, and then maybe a 4 minute, but like longer form video for YouTube or whatever, and something to share on Facebook and just the online generation.
It's probably never been cheaper, really.
You could do it yourself.
To promote yourself, but it's never been more pointless either, has it? You're just lost in a world of TikTok.
In a sea of stuff, like, yeah. I mean,
sea of Malecki.
Well, you see the ad band spending a lot of money on
Malecki, like,
I don't know.
Doing a video on it, you know, it's expensive, like. And it's one video, it's one clip then, really. It's whatever length of the song is.
I think they're gone, unfortunately.
But you can only bring it out once.
That's it.
That's one release.
Yeah.
I've just spent 10 grand on a thing that went up on a Friday. And on Monday, everyone had forgotten.
Watch it.
That it was up.
I think the last recent one I saw was Galway Girl from Ed Sheeran.
Yeah. Another catastrophe.
I don't know, I watched it. And
yeah.
I just felt... Death is stalking me.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I just got a bit closer to the fucking grave just looking at it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there a point to making a music video anymore? Is
we don't know because we're out of touch. Like,
yeah.
You'd have to ask a young, emerging, there's a lot of bands kind of coming up there. Are they doing videos
He's putting a video on YouTube now, Old Hat.
YouTube's Old Hat, like. Yeah,
YouTube's Old Hat.
TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
TikTok.
So it's basically used the time and the budget to record content that'll do you for the, you know, for a period of time rather than one clip of
Well, you're hoping
a video for a, for one song.
You're hoping your one clip will go viral, like, and you're maybe kind of trawling that by just putting up stuff every day. And I've noticed that people are following a kind of a trend to try and catch these algorithms. Like, you know, I've noticed that there's a formula to it. I've noticed that all young YouTube musicians now, maybe they're in front of a microphone like this, and the video is maybe 20 seconds long, and they're piling in the information that's meant to click. You can see them, they're going, if you like bands like Picture This and Dermot Kennedy and Brendan, then you're going to love this. This is a song about, you know, this is a song for anyone who blah, 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 blah. And then they sing maybe 15 seconds of the song. And there'll be fucking 20 different versions of that video. And okay, they're waiting for one of them to bite.
One of them to pop.
Yeah.
And then what? You have fucking 10 minutes while it's popular and then it's gone again.
And then it's gone again. And there's nothing, there's staying power in nothing, like, you know. That album, I know, going back to it now, never mind that we played, and Lone Jack was on. I played that till it scratched out and wouldn't play anymore, and then I bought another one and I did that two or three times.
Yeah, I think I had two tapes before I fucked them,
If, like, I don't know where the attention span has gone from gang. If we played that now, would they have any interest? No, they wouldn't. They'd, like, what's on TikTok, you know?
That's a fucking interesting one, I wonder. No, nobody listens to music anymore.
Nobody gives it a chance, like.
No.
You know?
Yeah, to give it, to let it grow on you and to
give it a chance, like.
Yeah.
I was in the swimming pool the other day, like, with the small one, and I saw a girl reading a book, and I was just taken aback.
Yeah.
It's weird, like. That's weird, no?
Was she over 30?
No, she was 13, I'd say.
Oh, yeah, fair play, yeah. That's a rarity.
So, like, they're not going to go home and put on an album.
She could know her. That's the thing.
She
like,
might.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
she might, but I don't think anyone else was
going to. The vast majority of them have never listened to an album.
No, they're
full.
Not going to use their phone for that, are they?
Well, I think, is it up to our generation to kind of feed it to them?
Nah, fuck it.
But for them, you just seem like dinosaurs. Come here, I'm put away there.
Yeah, but that child.
Don't mind your Dua Lipa now for a second. Come over here and we're going to put on fucking
Dua Lipa. Yeah, but that that girl's parents didn't, like, she didn't go out and buy the book. Somebody.
Oh, jeez, I didn't know. I didn't ask her no. The fuck she was doing with the book.
Where did you get that book?
Yeah.
A 40 something man in swimming pool.
What are you reading for?
But they're obviously.
Show us the book.
Dua Lipa.
The tag going off of me.
Can't go into the water with the tag.
Just look at the book.
Oh, no, plastic bag I could put around the tag on the ankle.
She's not, she, you know, they're obviously just what? Someone in, brother or sister in swimming doing a lesson or something, and they said, look, you can bring your book, you're not bringing a fucking, bringing a phone.
Quite possibly, you're not fair play if they did.
Yeah. Well, but that's parents probably our age insisting on that. And, you know, as when it comes to music, here, listen to this. Mm. Get off your phone, forget about it. Put on that, I bought you a CD player there. Do you know how it works? Will I show you? Listen to this CD.
Yeah, but are we just forcing something down their neck that is irrelevant now? Like, maybe my parents, like, forcing me to fucking
listen to the Dartry Cayley band.
Yeah, or Ration Book or something.
I had a pile of old CDs, and I gave them, I had them in a, do you know when you bought CDs for copying, and they came in a kind of a case?
I do well.
You have 100 of them.
CDR.
Tower.
I had all my CDs, I've Gallagher VACDC, all the CDs that I've ever had in there, they're all scratched the fuck. But I gave them to Barra. I said, look, there's a CD player in your room. If you want to mess around and put them in. I showed him how to work it and put the CDs in and whatever. And he was all over the shop. He was putting them in upside down and everything. And I went, this is my fault. He should know, like, he's 10. So anyway, I put them in. He'd be up now. He'd be getting ready for bed. You can hear fucking AC/DC.
Good.
Nah, 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 nah. And he'd go into the room. He should not, because he's in shape and inside in the room.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He wouldn't have done it.
No.
With a fucking Spotify, it's too big. It's too.
I see where you're coming. What
it's
you're
too
at now,
too
yeah.
deep a pool to go into and say, "This is what I like." When you have a pile that high, and you have to pick out your favorite out of it, that's when you kind of when you find your taste.
Too much choice is a prison.
You
know,
Spotify. You're not going to find your taste in Spotify.
No, you're not.
God,
there's too much there. You're spoiled for choice.
It's grim, lads. Fucking future is grim.
Grim, like
grim out.
It's Grimus, like.
Grimus Maximus.
It's Grimus Malachius.
Maybe for a certain certain cohort. Do you know what I mean? Well, it mightn't be for if people are musical and
we have to ask a young person. We have to try and get hold of a young person.
Well, we did, I suppose.
Sit down, we have a couple
of questions. Oh, you fucking had Andrew Fletcher 2 weeks ago.
He's the exception to the rule. Then, fuck.
Yeah, no point asking him.
To the peel.
We need a run of the mill youth. If you were a run of the mill youth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say, lads, it's across the board, though, because I was looking at that Coachella festival, you know, it's on in America. That's just, as much as I can narrow it down. And it's like one of the biggest festivals in the world. The lineup, I know it's a kind of sign of being out of touch, but I didn't fucking know anyone on the lineup.
And neither did the crowd.
Neither. But I saw Blur. Damien Albarn went up with Blur, and, you know, he was trying to get him to sing along, and, you know, they were looking at him fucking stupid. Like, he even said it. He went on a rant from the stage. Like, lads, we're not coming back, so you might as well try and sing along. Like, they were getting zero reaction, like, completely bombed. Like,
just phones, I suppose.
Just kind of
just a sea of phones.
But there's parts where he actually went, woohoo! You know, he was silent. Putting the mic out and there was nothing.
Yeah, complete.
Sorry, Damon.
But it's like, I've noticed that across the board, though. I've noticed it at even pub gigs. Like,
That made the news. Yeah. That made entertainment RT news. That shouldn't have. Not for that reason. For the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
But your lads, the fucking bulk of the internet is a fucking toilet.
It is, yeah.
It is, like,
it's shite in a bucket, and it's a big bucket, like.
Yeah, it's a bucket of fucking jays.
And, like, there's kids then, they're like, listen, do you ever hear this song, this fucking savage guitar in this song? Will you go away? There's fucking Traveller call-out videos. Here I want to watch.
Go, like, you dope.
Yeah, I'm going, like, watching TikToks of gang, you know, building huts in the middle of the Amazon, you know. Like, yeah, but music is good too, give it a chance. It's not even getting a shot, like, you know. It worries me, actually. But then again, every now and again, you meet someone like Andrew Fletcher, who is just like, nah, fuck that.
Yeah.
I'm going to play rock music, and I love this, and I love this. And you can tell that it's not an act. He's not regurgitating what his father's like. He likes what he likes, you know.
So he does, yeah.
Why should they listen to music, though?
Because it is absolutely life-saving. It's powerful. Like,
if it catches you.
It can change your mood.
It has to catch you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
How inspiring, like.
Well, if you're down in the dumps and you catch, for some reason, a song that you haven't heard, it can change. It can do the thing that they're trying to get, you know, medication and therapy to do for people. It can change you on the spot. It can make you happy.
See, I never had that epiphany now, unfortunately. I often heard people say, like, you know, your album helped me through a really dark time in my life. And I was something just...
I went to a music therapy training course as part of work one time. And your man doing it, he was brilliant. One part of it is what he did. He had a ukulele or a guitar or something, and he sang like a child's lullaby. I can't remember which one. And he sang it, and it was lovely. He had a lovely voice, could really play the guitar nice and softly. And then he went into minor chords, and we all...
There's
another lady there. No, we all shuffled in our seat. We all kind of went, why is he doing that? Some people started laughing nervously. He stayed going. He'd look at you as if when you laughed. As in
all minor chords.
Minor chords. It was like, I'll give you an example there. Like
don't the guitar.
Yeah, give us the guitar.
That, I believe, is a Christmas song.
Yeah, it is. Hold on a sec. Thanks. He sang all key and everything, and everyone was fucking very put out by it.
Yeah, because it's unsettling, like.
Now he goes, go home now and sing that to your child. Everyone went,
oh, you will not, no.
You've just ruined that fucking song for us. He says, that's my point, he says.
Yeah.
That's how it can cheer someone up, it can upset people. That's the power of music, he says.
Yeah.
And there was another thing he did was he gave us all, he had a big bucket there of fucking shakers and rattlers and percussion instruments in a box, and he gave everyone one. Now, these weren't musicians. These were nurses and people, OTs and dietitians and all that. And he said, right, we'll just start fluting around, just start messing with it, see what noise it makes. And he went off letting on he was going out of the room for something. And we all messing and banging. And next thing, he came back in. And next thing, he says, keep going, go. Why have you stopped? He was kind of a funny character. So we said, go on again. So we kind of looked at each other and, well, I was doing this and you were doing that. Next thing, all of a sudden, I found this rhythm.
We were all in time together.
And he goes, I've done this. I do this once a week. He says, it's part of my job. And I like doing it. It's like other health professionals do, like life-saving or AED machines. And he says, I do this because I'm into music. And he says, I've done it 100 times more. He said, it always ends up the same rhythm.
Everyone syncs up after
it's
a while.
It's amazing. But it's around, it's a something between 80 and 100 beats per minute.
That's what, heartbeat.
Yeah.
That's a heartbeat.
Somewhere in between, yeah. So Jesus, music, okay. It is, he says, there's more to it than meets the eye. Like. So to answer your question, Gary.
What do you think, Gary?
Does it answer?
You think back to your youth, if you took Nirvana out of it, if you took grunge music as a whole.
Yeah.
With the Smashing Pumpkins and the Irish bands that came from that, like Ash and all that, how much enjoyment would have been taken from your life? How much of the enjoyment in your life that you've experienced came from music? Like?
It's hard to say because I think I found friends of it.
This is it. Like,
I think I kind of, I don't know, like you kind of shape a bit of a lifestyle out of it as kind of... Yeah. Shallow as that sounds, you do, don't you? And 100%. You kind of—it's hard to actually answer that. No, I think I don't know. I'd have a different group of friends in it.
And how much enjoyment did you get from the friends that you had on music? And it all came from music, like.
Yeah, sure, I know. Yeah.
If you take that away, that's why they need music, like. Well, that's easy because I'm biased. Like,
I suppose what I'm asking is, at a very base level, what happens when you hear music? Can you describe it in layman's terms? Like, it stretches my vocabulary, but...
I get
so,
a
like,
kick
lyrics aside...
I get a kick that I don't get from anything else from music.
So you feel like...
I feel it a way that I don't feel that nothing is like it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's the best feeling in the world, or it's the fucking this or that, or it does this for me. It's just that feeling I get from a good... Like, when I heard Lounge Act, when I went back to revisit Nirvana for that gig... I wouldn't. That's just fucking song. Just those three chords, and Kurt singing it. I was like, I forgot about that song. And that feeling I got, I couldn't get that bang really, unless music was involved.
Yeah,
and I've witnessed.
Yeah, you described it well there.
But so. I've witnessed. Yeah, and I've witnessed him. We came away from this podcast not last week, the week before, I think. Or was it? No, it was 2 weeks before that. And we got into the car. We were coming out the road, and I turned on the phone. Whatever was on my phone, and Sad But True came on, Metallica.
Oh, yeah!
We were driving through Castlemar, we listened to it, and he just went, turn it up now. When you listen to that, like, if you're buying any fucking set of speakers,
get the Black Album, put it through.
Get the Black Album, put it through. That's how you know, because it was recorded here. He just played patent open in his mouth, he just took it off. He was pure taken with it because.
Wouldn't even be in the room anymore, like.
No, but that's a different feeling, say, to listening to a sad song or something with lots of minor chords.
Yeah, but
like,
I get
what you're feeling there is kind of elated, is it?
I'll get elated from the sad songs too. I'll get it uplifted from sad stuff. If it'll alter me, if I can relate to it and it strikes a chord with me and it sets me off and I get that bang, I'm getting that bang from whatever.
So it's a bit buzzy, a bit of a buzzword, but it's a dopamine kind of thing. Is it?
Yeah. Must be, yeah.
And it feeds nostalgia, but it's not just nostalgia based. Like
it helps stuff.
It helps. Oh, it helps when it's sad but true. Like, sure, I'm back into my teens and where I heard the song, but the song itself, when I'm in it, and the sound of it.
Could you like relate like to the sentiment of a song? Ever, like, or like, obviously, Metallica, you're not really going on because what the fuck they're on about.
You're not going on sentiment. Yeah.
I don't think I ever did that. Like,
I don't relate to the sentiment, right? But I can tell, and I think people can tell, if the writer and the lyrics are written in honesty, I'll get a kick from the song. Like your song, The Ballad of Willie John, that's an honest, you can tell you're being honest and real in the song. So I'll appreciate and enjoy the song more.
Yeah.
But if I think it's, you know, summertime sadness, I'm like, turn off that
tawdry kind of tired
absolute malakaka off the fucking stereo because it's cat.
Yeah.
It's tiring. Okay. It's been, I can tell when it, you know, these Irish bands are coming out of the wash now. It's good. Let's make a bit more picture this-y with a bit of Dermot Kennedy in it. But you're all trying to be the same thing. That's not honest, like. That's been
fucking. I wonder who's that appealing to them? Like,
the masses, the TikTok masses who don't like music, the people
that we were just talking.
That's why we're here. It's a cycle of please the masses, you know.
But couldn't it be good as well?
You have to go looking for the good stuff.
I know, but couldn't it be good and please the masses?
They wouldn't give a shit if it was good.
They don't give a fuck.
They don't
good
give
or bad.
A fuck. Like the gang making it. A lot of them don't give a fuck if it's good or bad. They're just trying to catch the masses.
Yeah,
you know.
But did you ever feel the relief of a really good chorus?
Yeah.
Almost like the verse, it's not like you're waiting for the chorus, but
yeah,
you're thinking, God, I hope to do the chorus three times at the end.
Yeah, because it's a bang, yeah. Like the lounge act, that's what happens.
It crashes like a wave. Just
and so it doesn't have to be a heavy song or a fast song.
No. There are two chords in it. They can be changed to a minor on the chorus.
Yeah.
And it's like, boom, there it is. Like, yeah.
I know.
And that's what makes your young fella throw shapes in front of the mirror too. And that's what
it does, yeah.
That's what makes all youngsters.
I suppose it can cater for loads of things, like if you're sad or if you're fucking depressed, if you're just
many, many functions.
Happy if you're going out. You're
Yeah, I mean, it serves all purposes. You always want to dance in the club, you get the EDM stuff, you get that, but for me, it has to be good. Like, it's not enough just to be chewing gum for years, which I think a lot of music is now. Like,
you know what's good though, don't you?
Oh yeah, what's good is good. Like,
yeah,
there's no mystery in it. Like, you know, this is good. Like, you know.
So on that, can someone making music? You can only offer what you can offer. You can only talk honestly. And hope for the best. Well, I mean, you can rehearse, obviously.
You can pander and talk shit as well. And it can be popular. But at the end of the day, I think people will be found out. Like, you know, I always say that. Like, you know, it doesn't take long to figure out if a fella's genuine. Your art, you're exposed. Like, you go up there on the stage with the guitar and you start playing. If you're not invested in what you're doing, people will know after one or two songs. They'll know, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, it's obvious. All right, yeah.
It's one thing about the grunge scene. Like, they were real as it gets. Like, you know.
Yeah, but you started songs, like.
What do you mean? They were brilliant.
Yeah, I think it was just they were sloppy. I think. I'm afraid that's why they were so good. I don't really know.
Sloppy good, like Neil Young, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Sloppy, but really good.
It's a bit of a wishy-washy subject. I suppose it's hard to. It should be, though. It shouldn't be like a formula, should it? You know,
it shouldn't be. That's the exact opposite of what it should be like.
Yeah, I think we deviated a small bit there, Dave.
That's why I always say the big music industry like Beyonce and Taylor Swift and all of these, and even in Ireland, the top level of the Coronas doing this and doing that, that has very little to do with music. Like, that is kind of a popularity contest and a marketing game and a business, but it isn't fucking a music industry as such, where good musicians rise to the top. And
but I don't think that was their intent, though. Like when they started off, like I don't think Denny from Coronas or whatever his name was decided. I'm going to make as much money as I possibly can here. Like,
no, but it gets.
I think
in,
it like, just went that way.
Gets in for a vibe, every musician, right? You know.
The business side takes over, and
it has to be a business.
Things
side.
Suffer.
Yeah.
I don't know. What was your question, Dave?
Yeah.
I just was thinking about that today. About like, why do people listen to music? Really, like, you know, that's kind of answer to this, I suppose.
Why do you listen to music?
Just like I described. Just like maybe hear a fucking. I've listened to a load of Travis lately, like just, it's melodic.
And, the Man Who.
Yeah, fucking great album.
Great album.
Yeah, it's a lovely album.
And then, you know, I've been listening to Jelly Legs from Mundy.
Oh.
And those lyrics are, they're very juvenile, like, but they're great, you know.
Yeah.
Do you know, just listening to the lyrics, I was like, that's fucking very of his time, whatever age he was. That was 98 or something.
Jesus, yeah.
I mean, very young. And you can hear it in the lyrics, like, but they're not shit.
Yeah.
But he wasn't afraid, like, to write about things, like, you know.
Yeah.
So that's another aspect of it. I
saw a video recently. I don't know if I brought you to, it was on TikTok. I can't the name of the band. We'll have to put in after or something. But it's a two-piece in a radio studio doing a cover of Linger by the Cranberries. You didn't see it. The boys look like they're just, it's Roy Otis or something, like, isn't it? And they're doing Linger, just an electric guitar and a guy singing, and the two boys look like they were.
Linger is creeping up as, like, you know, it's one of these songs now that's going to, you'll hear lads playing it in the pubs. Yeah, it's like the other one that the Cranberries did that everyone, a lot of bands play.
Zombie?
Not Zombie.
Dreams.
Dreams.
Yeah, Dreams is a good one, Dreams, yeah. But those songs are classics, like.
Yeah.
They're real, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a song written, like, probably happened. It was like, you know, I saw you holding her hand. The lyrics are good. That's very relatable. I suppose sad songs, kind of love songs, are they easier to kind of write? Are they easier to come up with lyrics?
I don't know. Sad songs, I do notice it with young bands and young musicians, they release the kind of the tearjerker. There's an awful lot of bands bringing out songs about heartbreak because it's kind of a relatable topic, and there's an awful lot of songs out there already about heartbreak, and it's, you know, I suppose you write about the emotions that you feel the most, and, you know, breaking up with your girlfriend and when you're 17 is like huge at the time, like, you know, so
yeah,
to bring out these songs. But I like an old song that isn't really about anything, like, you know. I like Hash Pipe by Weezer, like, you know. Just fucking bangs, that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to fucking bang, like, you know.
Yeah.
Sad songs. It depends what you have, though. If you're on your own, it's harder to convey a happy song, isn't it?
It can be.
Yeah, if you're on your own, just have a guitar. It's, I mean, heartbreak is the go-to.
You're not going to go a hash pipe on the acoustic, well, you could try.
Fucking should.
Dun 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 dun.
Fucking cat.
What's the saddest song you sing, Mike?
The saddest song that I sing.
Yeah. Hash pipe.
That's all I can think of now. That's all that's in my head. Oh, like the Contender is fairly fucking depressing, like, isn't it? That's a song about Jack Doyle who just drank himself to death.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
I know, yeah.
Wah, 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 wah.
Any Irish ballad, Willie McBride.
That's because we have two settings. Drunken Raven and Drunken Crying. You know
that's
what I mean?
That's all we have, yeah.
Fuck it, like, they go inside in the pub and they want to hear Grace, like. That is a sad song, like.
It's a sad song, but I think they've gloriously misinterpreted the crowd usually.
Yeah.
I don't know what they think it is about, like.
Not a Willie McBride as well. Like,
oh, yes.
That's not an Irish song, is it?
How do you do? I think that was World War II. The Great War, I'd say. That was World War I, I'd say, was it?
You died back in 1916. Yeah, World War I. Yeah.
I think it's actually, is it 1915 though, the original lyric?
Which will relate to World War I as well. Yeah. But, and the poppies dancing in the fields of France.
Yeah, he's in Flanders fields, like.
He's in English.
Well, he was fighting with the British Army, like, abroad. But he was Irish, which many of them did.
Who wrote it?
I don't know who wrote it.
And where in the song does it say he was Irish?
I mean, Willie McBride, it's just assumed, I suppose.
I don't know.
See, people hear 1916 and it's a very poignant date, and they probably get carried away.
But it wasn't. He was fighting for the crown.
I'm sure people, Dirty Old Town, people think Dirty Old Town is an Irish song too. It's fucking Salford, isn't it?
I've heard loads of people going, we're going to do an Irish one now, and they might bang out The Water Boys. The Water Boys.
Well, yeah.
Mike Scott.
Well, Sharon Chan was in there.
Willie McBride is Davy Arthur and the Furies.
Oh, did they write it though?
Well, song by.
I don't think they wrote that.
One of the saddest songs, Willie Nelson wrote a song, Angel Flying Too Close to the Ground. Did you ever hear that one?
He's got some sad ones now.
Oh, baby, I didn't treat you.
Did he wrote that, didn't he?
Yeah. Why does I should have. For fuck's sake, Willie, man. How many regrets have you got?
Oh, lads,
you do that fucking right.
I have a story. I'm not going to say what it was. Myself and Dots were talking to Donegal for a gig on a sort of radio appearance or something one time. And we brought one of the lads because he just finished with his missus, you know, and we were listening to country music on the way up and it was just getting dark. We were just getting dark. Did you ever hear Willie Nelson's version of You Were Always On My Mind, like, banging out the boys? We shouldn't have put it on at all, like. It's heavy duty, like. And it was that awkward moment, like, which one of us is going to fucking turn it off, like, because it's a heating number if you're fucking down, like, you know.
Oh, God, it is, yeah.
He did Crazy as well. Do you know Crazy? You know,
Crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, Angel Flying Too Close to the Ground is obviously about somebody sick and passing away.
Sad.
But it's about a child.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was sang at a funeral, and I'll never forget. Now, I was asked to help out in it, and between us, I do verse and he do verse, and I was like, it's tough, like.
I wouldn't be able to get through that. No, that's heavy sledging. That's hard going.
Beautiful song. Beautiful song.
Seven Spanish Angels is another. Fuck it, he's got an absolute repertoire of fucking miserable songs, doesn't miserable he?
But sure, you do what you do, like, you know.
Yeah.
I
have a tendency, like, now I'd always lead towards the kind of morose, melancholy stuff. I wouldn't be.
Is that because you're on acoustic? When you sit down to kind of fumble, like, if you sat down with the electric, you're not going to go turn on a distortion. You're not going to come up with.
No, the acoustic certainly lends itself to.
Yeah.
Yeah. The more sadder themes.
Like, if you could hear those old Americana fellas like Towns Van Zandt, like, they were fucking miserable, like.
Yeah.
I quite like that.
Yeah.
I like it, though. And it doesn't.
Miserable fella.
You know, for this, shut off a fucking person. They don't make me depressed. Sad songs, like.
They're uplifting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree, like.
It's not happening to me.
Yeah, I'm just relaying this information to you. Yeah.
That one as well. See the child with the golden hair and eyes and know the emptiness. And
feel cooler.
Feel cooler. It's fairly heavy going as well.
Yeah. Fuck it, I don't know about going into a pub now with them and loads of them. But you know what? On a Sunday evening, fellas, to be banging them out and people love it.
I've done it. I've done those songs, yeah. Because I just been many there, but they go down a storm.
It's good to have them.
Once you do them in a certain way, you're not kind of, you know.
Yeah, and then just take it, you know, move on a bit, do something.
Yeah, Jesus, you want to be live in a moment, but then after maybe one or two of them in the set is enough.
The Dutch man is a very fucking.
It's your man with the Alzheimer's, like, and his
very,
wife.
Very depressing song. I mean, if you want to hear a depressing song, like, that's a depressing song.
Yeah, it is, yeah. It is, yeah.
But it's got a nice chorus, like, you know.
This week I was
listening. Pubs.
I was listening to Come My Little Son, which is a Ewan McCall song that the Dubliners did about. mother telling her son why she can't see his father who's working on the roads in England, right? On paper. Doesn't make sense for an Irish band to be blended, but it's as Irish as it gets, and it's a really uplifting song, like,
that's,
you know.
That's
just about misery and immigration, like most Irish songs are, like, you know. Mm. Good one. Did you ever do it, Mike?
Yeah. My uncle used to sing that. Fucking with his kind of signature dish. Willie John, we spoke about him.
Could you give us a fucking bit? Could you give a verse and a chorus of it? I don't mean to put you on the spot now, but it's exactly what I'm doing.
Oh.
Yeah, verse the chorus.
Yeah, press pause a little bit.
Yeah.
Give it a go.
All right, here's our version of Come My Son, is it? That we haven't practiced at all.
I don't even know what it's called.
We haven't practiced at all.
And why we're doing it, we don't know.
Come, my little son, I will tell you what to do. Undress yourself, get into bed, the tale I'll tell to you. It's all about your daddy, he's a man you seldom see. For he's had to roam far away from home, away. He's still your dad, though he's working far away. In the cold and the heat, all the hours of the week, on England's motorway. And when you fall and hurt yourself, you get to feeling bad. It isn't any good for you. Go run and do your dad. For the only time since you were born, he's had to spend with you. He was out on a job and he hadn't a bob. He was signing on. He's still your dad, though he's working far away. Neath the cold and the heat, all the hours of the week, on England's motorway. Have to bear our load, because we need the money that daddy earns by working on the road. Remember, laddie, he's still your dad, though he's working far away. In the cold and the heat, all the hours of the week, on England's motorway. Remember, laddie, he's still your dad, and he'll soon be home.
to stay for a week or two with me and you when he's built the motorway.
Bawling. Bawling.
Chef's kiss.
Their listeners are bawling.
That's a good example of a kind of a song that kind of gets you there, man.
Yeah. Real hits you real
what
home.
If you, now it does, like if you're, does, isn't it? You're a bit jarred.
Oh, if you threw a few drinks into the mix.
You're a bit fucking hormonal.
You've been to Sydney.
I have.
There's some Irish pubs in the city. You put that on, there's fellas there on high vis and they're all muck. And
yeah.
Looking into their pint and
throwing 4 or 5 Kenneans of Bundaberg rum and a little dollop, a generous dollop of jet lag. And you're shame. There, like.
And the shame of having to ring home for a few bob because you missed a week's work. No.
And you turn on the It's All Music podcast and that Carey starts singing that.
Maybe that's the problem with the youth. Never had a fucking really bad recession. Yeah.
More misery. More misery, please.
They need to be a little bit more miserable and poor.
The line there that I felt, remember, lad, he's still your dad and he'll soon be home to stay. He'll soon be home to stay. I don't know why the fuck. That line gave me a bit of a shiver in my shoulder when I sang it. Why is that?
I know, yeah.
Sometimes I get that, like, I get a tingly face when I'm singing a song.
But is it upsetting you or is it like...
No, I think it's just the way the lyrics are phrased. Because they changed the chorus there, that line, he'll soon be home to stay.
Well, that song...
Ewan McCall.
I could just see genius, the... You could just see the mammy talking to the child. You could just see her.
Yes, and that's,
you know,
what...
He's little pyjamas, cotton pyjamas on him. He's going to bed and he's sad and fuck.
That's what I'm talking about with Willie and that song, Angel Flying Too Close to the Ground. It's... That's what it does, like.
Yeah, that's good. It sends you... Great topic. It is, like, it's the realness of the writing.
And that's the fucking...
Believe that. That's the roots of music, like, isn't it? That's the bare bones of it.
Yeah.
Because you can have all the, like, you know, the knowledge and all the information and the...
Yeah.
But that's the bones of it, like, isn't it?
But, like, the thing there is a good example of it. Is it Ralph McTell wrote Clare to Hear?
Yeah.
He wrote that from observing Irish fellas in London. Like, and it's the realest representation of it. The only time I feel all right is when I'm into drinking. It takes away the pain of it and lives without me thinking, sure. He must have been doing some study on him. I think he was living with them, like, because...
That's right.
Fuck it, it's as real as it gets, like.
And just the imagery, like, 4 share the room, we work hard for the crack, sleep late on Sundays, we never go to mass.
You can nearly smell the bed set.
You can, the stink.
You can nearly smell the fucking place.
And the depression, like, you know.
There's something about folk music, it has to be real, because there's no frills.
No, there's no escaping.
But there's nothing, you know, no flashy lights, no fucking music videos worth fucking $500,000. No, this, the kind of... basis of folk music is it has to be real, like, you know.
She played the fiddle in an Irish band. She fell in love with an Englishman.
Take the folkies, then the real.
Give me all your money again, you cunts.
And I'll take it by the hand.
I'll take it back to England.
You cunts. Take the real folk, like your dad there now, like, who's in the Americana folky scene, Cork. Like, if you played Ed Sheeran for him, he'd nearly fucking get sick up and down for himself. Like.
That's my point. That's my point. I'm going back to my point. My point. I was fed it. It was fucking pushed on me. Not pushed, but you know, he's listened to this to this day.
Yeah.
He'll ring me then and say, did you listen to it? He's annoying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I'll go, fuck's sake. All right. And I listen to it. And then I'm tormented because I can't get the fucking song out of my head.
Wow. My old fellow rang me this week. He's like, what did he say? First thing he said in the phone. Fucking Andy Irvine. Hello. Andy Irvine.
Andy Irvine. See, Formula One driver.
He had an album in the 80s there where he had a song on it. I don't know the name of it. I don't know the name of the album.
He played with Christie, didn't
about, he? Yeah, he was in Clancy, like, but and he had an album with Paul Brady as well that was very good. But he's it's a song about Donoghue's pub in Dublin. It's very good. No, listen to that, like.
Find it and listen to it.
Yeah, there's a line in it about Barney McKenna. It's very funny. I've met my father 4 times since now, and I'm beginning to get the guilt.
Because you haven't listened.
Did you listen to him?
Yeah.
It was drilled into me as well, you know. Like, did you just fucking have to?
I think music is personal, though. I think when someone foists something on you, I don't know if it works. Like,
A lot of the time, it depends who it is. There's fellas who have said to me, listen to that. I'll always go, I'll have to fucking listen to that now, because he's usually under. When you mentioned to me an album that you say, hooky choruses, I like hooky choruses, like.
I'm a fucking pity.
I'm taking pity. Your absolute disgrace for them.
Pity.
Pity for the hooky choruses. Yeah. But if you tell me that, like, there's a band there and it's a melodic 90s rock band, I'm going home and I'm listening to it. When Corky says to me that there's a kind of a country-ish, kind of a new kind of country band, but they're real as fuck, I'm listening to that band. I'm taking advice from
yeah.
Yeah. I know what your strengths are, like.
But yeah. You know, yeah. Jerry's not pulling that. He's not saying that for nothing. I know that, like, Dinny is not saying that for nothing. It's caught him.
These are the fellas who introduced us to Steve Earle. You know what I mean? They're not wrong.
But that's what I'm saying. Go back to that child in the swimming pool with the book. Somebody says, no, you're not on the phone. You'll be listening. You'll be,
yeah.
Get a book and get a decent one. Get one you're going to read.
Ah, okay. It's fucking.
You're not bringing a fucking sticker book now.
You're feeding them the good stuff, yeah, then, aren't you?
So you're kind of. We need more Jerrys. We need more Dinnies.
That's only a base, though, because then I'd be listening to something like fucking Motley Crue or something. My phone fellow would say, what's that? It's Motley Crue. Why are they dressed like that?
Yeah, my father was
Has he a toothache?
But obviously you'll have your own.
Why does he sound like that? Has he a toothache, my father would say?
Yeah, but everything doesn't have to be fucking discerning, like,
no,
you know.
No, but
you can have a laugh, too, like.
Yeah. The only thing is the grunge scene kind of showed up, that kind of glam rock scene, like, you know.
They did, but I suppose you can, you know, it's a fucking smorgasbord.
Yeah, take what you want from it.
Pick what you want. It's a buffet, like.
As a fella says, that's why they have menus in restaurants. People don't all like the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is a carvery or something.
Yeah, then it's pretty
four rubbery meats. Do you know who's another fella? Am I trying to do a verse and a chorus? I
might be able to.
John Martin.
Oh, may you never.
Yeah, but there's a fucking. He's got some great albums. Like, if you're London Conversation, like, he's dead. But
I'm not another, even going to bother trying that.
He'd transport me, you know, like, I'd be listening to him, like. And he was used to use the Echoplex live, that kind of tape delay thing. Yeah, Jesus, lads, it used to be just magic. Like, I love listening to that.
Yeah.
And I'm not a muso, like, but I remember listening to him and thinking, fucking Christ, that stuff is just brilliant.
I first came across him, my father got me the complete collection of the old Grey Whistle Test, which was a show on BBC before Top of the Pops. You'd have to come in, John Peel was presented, and the artist would perform live in the studio in BBC.
Cool.
It was a BBC show. And, like, lads, this show, like, ran for years all through the 70s, right? Bob Marley and the Wailers, fucking David Bowie, like John Martin's performance on May You Never is just, I'll have to give it. And you know what? I've never seen it on the telly, or it was really expensive. The old Grey Whistle Test, and it was a music show, obviously, but I have the complete collection of it, and I tell you, lads, there's stuff in there. You name it, like Skinner doing Freebird is on it, you know, like all the massive ones.
Class.
Like, they got everyone in, like.
What have you got it on?
I have a DVD box set of it. You know,
but a picture for the old socials.
The old socials, yeah.
And was John Martin on that? I think I've seen that.
Martin did. Oh, it's a real 70s looking performance with a light over the back of his head.
The silly microphone and the tin desk stand.
And he's sat on it and just up on a high stool like this. And
I love the way he plays the guitar and everything. But John Martin, he died in Kilkenny in 2003. He moved to Ireland. Like,
pity for the sauce.
Pity for the drink. He lost his fucking leg to drink.
To drink, yeah. And sure, where did he end up? West of Ireland. Perfect.
In the pub.
Where did the leg end up?
The Torlus. He left it in county final day. Left it on Munster final day. I swear. Too soon.
But, that's fucking years ago.
But yeah, there's been a couple of
the leg is still going.
Still tapping.
Like, didn't Steve Earle end up fucking Langer's here as well?
He did.
Didn't he? Yeah. They end up fucking playing trad sessions up to fucking Midlands and the West of Ireland, like, drinking.
Because they probably had a problem abroad and they came over here and your granddad was fond of it.
That's Langard.
Tell you now, this is John Martin, the acoustic guitar player. I'm not even going to bother basing this one up.
Are you dropping D?
He's like an open D, I think.
I'm looking forward to this.
I'm only doing first in the course.
No, you'll give it a lash, lad. Good advice. Yeah. That song should be called "Here's Some Good Advice."
Yeah, listen up.
You sound like you're on the pulpit.
I like a generous dollop of reverb. Well, I like to get lost.
You do.
We're lost
we
in
are
music.
Gathered here today. Go on,
lost in music.
Lost in music. We're lost in music.
I'm lost in music. Munich.
How much reverb Munich. Does it go again?
The Mitchellstown Caves. We'd like to welcome everybody to this very special bass from the Alley Caves. Father Carey is going to give the sermon now. Father Carey.
Brethren, good evening. Sinners, repent.
Repent. Death.
Your wife is outside, she goes, I was certain he was doing a podcast. I'm not so sure anymore.
Repent.
Death.
That was good, Mike. Well done.
Yeah, I like that.
Good, nice playing.
Thanks.
Michael Carey. What? Tis no harm to leave you at it.
Oh, there'd be no harm done. Everyone should feel very safe when I'm at it. From a perspective of harm. I know my wife does.
That's one of those ones.
Well, hey.
That's
well,
your
hey. Dog. You oh, fucking idiot. Sorry. That's one of those ones.
Just a little advice for young musicians out there. If you do find yourself spending $5,000 on a guitar, it always helps to bash it off stuff.
It's when just a thing
that you're not getting paid for recording a podcast.
Who loves a thing more than a person, though?
Yeah.
A monster.
I know. Oh. Sad songs. That's what we call the episode.
Sad.
There's room for that too.
Sad.
Yeah, I love it. Oh.
Can't be up all the time.
No.
Hi, and welcome to the Honky Tonk.
A pretty miserable honky tonk.
Jesus Christ.
I like it.
This is fucking depressing honky tonk.
A shit tonk.
Fuck.
So if you had not have fallen, then I wouldn't have found you. Angel flying too close to the ground. Patched up your broken wing, hung around for a while, trying to keep your spirits up and your fever down. Someday you'd fly away, for love's the greatest healer to be found. Always remember, angel flying too close to the ground. Fly on past the speed of sound, I'd rather see you up than see you down. Flying too close to the ground. Mm-hmm.
if you need to. We'll always remember our angel flying too close to the ground.
There and it's killing me, but we'll leave
stop
it.
Be
that's grand. Fuck
it. It was by far the best take.
Yeah,
it's grand. That's part of life, man.
He's gone too clinical altogether.
Wicked to God.
Sorry, Henny.
What happened to him?
He's still he loves.
He's still German.
Just because he loves it. He loves it.
Passion, Dave. Ray or no? That's. I suppose that's yeah.
I should do a gig on my own.
Do what the fuck?
Of sad songs on the bass. And just turn off the reverb now.
Put some reverb on the bass.
No.
Sad songs. We can't talk about sad songs without mentioning Radiohead. Fucking famous for having sad songs. But you know what? The best ones were sad. The majority of them were sad.
They were all sad songs.
Hmm.
Except Paranoid Android, that was a good party romp. Do they
who's,
have an?
Who's famous for? Sorry, what?
Oh, you got me off guard.
You couldn't.
Oh Jesus!
Who else is famous? Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. That's some depressing stuff.
That's depressing. Who's the most fucking?
Type O negative.
I was just told to say Type O negative. Peach deal. Christ, everybody dies. Peach deal. Yeah. God, everyone dies.
Yeah.
The crash test dummies.
Yeah, there's loads.
There was this kid who. Corky fucking loves the sad ones, doesn't he?
Oh, jeez, he does. Once. Once. There's another once.
Change with the girls in the changing room, and when they finally meet her, they found birthmarks all over her body.
Nobody knows
she
the next card.
Quite
B flat, I'd say.
No, it's not. It's a fucking. It's in the ether, lads. It doesn't exist. Is it? Oh, maybe.
Explain if they want all the
stuff. Why do you know that?
Sad songs. No. He loves. He's an expert in old sad
Why
stuff.
Do you know that one? You couldn't play that anywhere.
Because I'm
like
a fucking creep.
God, you're a creep.
A bit of a
weirdo.
Creep.
Sad songs are good.
Who else can we not? We never mentioned him for sad songs. Who? Like, we did someone. That's what I'm saying. Like, we're not saying, and we'll think back and say, how do we not mention such and such?
Leonard Cohen, fuck's sake.
Yeah, he did some uplifting stuff too, though. Like,
everyone has sad songs in their repertoire, don't they? Like,
sad stuff.
Sad, is it?
God, he was too so sad. Fucking golden. She got landed with in that song.
Yeah,
you will find work. I get more.
Do you listen to songs like watching a soap opera?
Ah, but your man was a
fucking. I don't know what did he do. He's a prick. That fella.
He's a prick. He's some fucking. Ah, he was a fucking twat.
Imagine doing that though, like AC/DC.
Yeah, turn it off after two. Jeez, I don't know what they're going next. They went down to Texas a while ago. I don't know what they're going to do with all next.
So they had some fun week, but
with them girls, yeah.
Contractors and teenagers, you have to wait till next week. See what happens.
We're going to leave it there till next week. Yeah, sad songs. Yeah, they're sad. Who's the Irish king of sad songs?
Probably that Sean Keen fellow knows it.
Fuck it, he's miserable in tea.
Wicked. It's like a singing potato.
It's like a fucking funeral gig.
It is, yeah. If it's just like, yeah, oh, fuck.
Can you do a bit of Sean Keen?
No. I don't think he's the only one that can do him.
Yeah.
Sean Keane's the only one that can do Sean Keane.
Yeah. That's very...
Have you ever heard a sad song that just, you know, when it just strikes it with everyone, that Adele song, Someone Like You, when that came out, like the whole world went, yeah, that's fucking, that's touching.
Never mind, I'll find Someone Like You.
Yeah, but the way she sang it, it was a performance-based thing. Did you ever hear, she did a version on, was it the Brit Awards, I think, Steve Corden, and up until then, she was singing it differently, and she kind of changed the arrangement slightly, and it went super mega viral at the time. It was years ago, like, you know, but he gives an introduction, James Corden gives an introduction to it, and she...
That's right, yeah.
...fucking nails it to the wall, like, you know, there's no questioning of her ability after that, like, she went superstar in job. Bob Dylan has some miserable shit as well.
That goes over my head entirely.
Really? Really?
No fucking clue.
Really? You don't like Dylan? People get very back up about it, don't they? I'm not going to do that now, like, but I like him. Like.
Oh, I love Dylan.
Yeah. Adele got me thinking about, you know, he did that one. He wrote that one.
But there are certain times when you listen to him, then he's doing stuff, and you're kind of going, is he taking the fucking piss?
Dot said that. Dot's a great quote. I'll never forget it. Like, that he went to see Bob Dylan one time, and he pretty convinced that Bob Dylan wrote half of the songs in the Jacks before he went out onto the stage.
He's like, what the fuck is he on about?
No, but he does certain. I was listening to him on the radio. He was actually on the fucking radio, going back to our point on song, but it was late. I was coming back from Cove after playing Saturday night in down in Rhines, and he was doing the service. He started singing, and he was like, oh, "I didn't. I actually don't know the song. Is it Mozambique?
I don't know.
Maybe it's Mozambique. Yeah, but he did this thing. He's just and he held the note. You're like, Jesus, Dylan, you're not. You haven't the voice to hold the note. But then he did the same with the harmonica, and you're like, why?
Yeah.
He's I was in knots laughing in the fucking car on my own because I kind of going, he's taking the fucking piss.
I think he's taking the piss. I think he's trolling people with the way he sings. Like, I went to see him in the Marquee a couple of years ago, and you know the way you'd be waiting? You would be waiting for the hits at the end of the night, you know? But he's not singing them
the way you know them.
Anyone has even covered him. Like, he went out now, and you know, he'd be waiting for like
Tangled Up in Blue.
Or what's the one? Once Upon a Time, You Dress So Fine, Do the Bugs of Time in Your Friend.
Oh, like a Rolling Stone.
Yeah, and he's getting up to the chorus and says, how does it feel?
How does it feel? To be on your own. Like a Rolling Stone. Like, it's like, fucking man.
The band must be going,
off
them anyway.
Like, yeah.
I think.
You know, this is going to be
gold.
I think it's a bit like The Emperor's New Clothes, like, where people just kind of follow him and buy into it because you might seem a bit stupid if you don't get it, like me. You know, you just say everything that he does is intentional or good, but the multitude of stuff I heard from him, I don't get it at all. Like,
I have
heard. He's rasping on that fucking harmonic and the guitar's out of tune, and I just don't think it's any good, like. I don't know, like, but sure, I've listened to loads of it. I just can't get into it at all.
We know a certain sound man in Cork, who I'm not going to name, who did monitors for Bob Dylan in Dublin,
mm-hmm.
and turned around and said, how does that sound? Bob said, when he was playing his guitar and it was coming through the monitors back at him, he asked a certain monitor engineer, how does that sound? And a certain Cork-based sound engineer said, it would sound even fucking better if you tuned it.
Oh, Jesus.
To Bob Dylan. So we don't stand a chance.
But you can throw the name Bob Dylan around. Like, he never struck me as an amazing guitar player. Like,
he's not that. It's not musical ability you go for when you're listening to him. It's lyrics. It's fuck it. He is banging lyrics. Like, he does.
Give me one of them.
When the rain is pouring in your face and the whole world is on your case, I can offer you some warm embrace to make you feel my love.
Ugh.
That's not a creepy lyric. Like.
No.
That's a banging lyric, like. When the head is heavy and the stars appear and there's no one there to dry your tears, I could hold you for a million years to make you feel. Every lyric in that song.
No fat.
There's no fat. It's fucking all yeah. killer, no filler. Like.
Actually, and, look, there you go. It's subjective and everything, I suppose.
What do you think? Because I know you're full up of Dylan appreciation.
Like Tangled Up in Blue, just fucking, you just went like that song.
Yeah.
She lit a burner on the stove and offered me a pipe. It's just like you're just in the fucking room with. I am anyway. Do you know? I said, what's he getting at? You're going to want to study it nearly.
I'm going to have listen to that for homework.
He took major inspiration from Liam Clancy.
Oh yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Singing Irish folk songs. And did Dylan just give America what we were talking about earlier on this podcast about the realness of folk music? You know,
maybe
the way we were getting Ewan McCall and we were getting these stuff. Is Dylan the American equivalent to that? Send us a text and let us know what you think.
So they're going to give out to me now for fucking that like Dylan?
No, they're not. They're not.
Oh, like, don't get me wrong, I could give a fuck. I'm just saying.
Lads, I enjoy this.
Early one morning, sun was shining. I was laying in bed. Wondered if she'd change it all, if the hair was still red. Folks have said our lives together sure gonna be rough. They never did like mama's homemade dress, but this bangbook wasn't big enough.
What the fuck is that?
I stand it at coming into my shoes. Headed out for the East Coast. Lord knows I played some Jews on getting through. Married when we first met, soon to be divorced. I helped her out of a jam, I guess, but I used a little too much force. So we drove the car as far as we could, abandoned it out west. We split up on a dark bed at night, both agreeing it was best. And she turned around and looked at me as I was walking away. Heard her say over my shoulder, we'll meet again someday on the avenue. Tangled up in blue. I got a job in the Great North Woods, working as a cook for a spell. But I never did like it all that much, and one day the axe just fell. So I drifted down to New Orleans, where I happened to be employed, working for a while on a fishing boat right outside Delacroix. And all the while I was alone, the glass was close behind. I met a lot of women there, but she never escaped my mind, and I just grew tangled up in blue. She was working in a topless place, and I stopped in for a beer. I kept staring at the side of her face in the spotlight so clear. And after a while, as the crowd thinned out, well, I was about to do the same. She was standing there on the back of my chair. Said to me, don't I know your name? I muttered something under my breath. She was studying the lines in my face. I must admit, I felt uneasy when she bent down to tie the laces of my shoe. Tangled up in blue. That's about as much as I know, no less, off the top of my head. So thanks for listening, everyone.
Do you consider Bob Dylan an underrated poet and one of the greatest minds of our time? Are you like Mike and you think it's a load of shite? Please let us know by email. Would you prefer to listen to Christy Moore than Bob Dylan? At the end of the day, it's all music, folks.
Like that, lads. Don't care what you say, Kerry. You can go fuck yourself and don't ever talk bad about Dylan again.
Canning of Worms opened.
He's one of them, and it's like the Beatles. Like, just mention, just even mention something slightly. Yeah.
Dare you put your head above the parapet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Folks, very good.
Send us a message. Send us an email.
Let us know what you think.
We don't know if we've any listeners. We've no money. We don't know what we're doing. No experience in podcasting whatsoever.
Hit the subscribe button on the fucking back of my house.
Smash like.
Smash like.
Just let us know. Let us know if you're listening. Let us know what you want us to talk about. And we have loads of social media pages now that Crocky took over the socials.
But we have no marketing budget, so market us, share it, and tell your friends.
Yeah, that'd be great. And
the world would be good.
Time will. Possibly a live show at Christmas.
No, I have been. I haven't said a T. Yeah,
what the fuck are you on about?
I think we should do a live show at Christmas.
Are you going to
sell a few tickets?
Was this between the two? Were you actually going to tell me?
I'll bring on a couple of guests, have a bit of a laugh, play a few songs. We've more to come on that after I tell the boys about it.
What a fucking snake.
We have to learn how to turn off our phones and talk into the mic first.
You want
to
bait any around the room?
I won't.
I bet you would.
Good luck.
See you next week now, lads.
Hey there, thanks for tuning in to this episode of It's All Music Podcast with Kerry, Henny and Quirky. Produced by me, Dave Quirk. Executive produced by me, Dave Quirk. Theme music by me, Dave Quirk. Incidental music by me, Dave Quirk. Talent booking by Owen Hennessy. Tea making and venue setup, Mike Carey. Yep, we're doing all this ourselves. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for us? Email us at itsallmusicpodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook and leave a message. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to It's All Music Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This has been a Dave Quirk production in association with Acast.
Hey there, and thanks for listening to the It's All Music Podcast with Kerry, Henny and Quirky. We're blown away by your support. The It's All Music Podcast is a completely independent, self-finance venture. If you enjoy what we're doing and you enjoy listening, you can support us by heading over to our Patreon page and subscribing for €3 a month. If you don't have €3 a month, don't stress. You can still listen to the podcast. And you can support us by sharing our content on your social media pages.